Transformation has become a kind of buzzword among Unitarian Universalists. We want to transform ourselves and the world around us. We often have strong opinions about what that might look like and feel like. The current situation in our nation has only made this desire for transformation feel more urgent than ever. As Unitarian Universalists, we talk of our desire to build beloved communities that are anti-racist and multicultural, compassionate, and just. Like the stream in our story, striving to cross the desert, we hurl ourselves forward, determined to overcome any obstacles. Like the stream, we are unwilling to be deterred. But when obstacles are encountered, the old methods will no longer work. To keep going in the same old way will get us nowhere. The stream, though, is terrified to change its ways, terrified of losing its identity. This is the rub, this fear that transformation will take something of our identity or will change us in ways that were not of our choosing. Most of us would be willing to change if we could be certain of the result, right? If we knew we would transform from a caterpillar to a butterfly, we would all quickly volunteer for that, right? Or if we could transform into a comic book superhero like Wonder Woman. Her transformation into Wonder Woman was accomplished not by breaking through a chrysalis, but by, anybody here now? Do you remember? Some of you must have grown up with Linda Carter and Wonder Woman like I did. She transformed by spinning around. Wouldn't it be great to be able to choose exactly how we'll change? Wouldn't it be great to spin around and become whatever your version of Wonder Woman is, and then to be able to run out and save the world? Wouldn't it be something if the transformation always looked so beautiful, seemed so easy, like a butterfly or a superhero? Wouldn't it be great to know how it is going to turn out? Maybe, maybe not. Rachel Hodges, in her poem Metamorphosis, observes that transformation does not work that way anyway. She says that it sneaks up on us, it creeps up on us in slow motion, she says, inexorably, in a way that cannot be stopped. And that is exactly what makes transformation scary and mysterious. Hodges asks a very telling question. She asks, why does transformation sneak up on us? Well, the simple answer is because it's a creative process. Because it is a process of becoming more whole, more fully human, and none of us gets to be in total control of that. The creative process is not linear, and it is not predictable. It sneaks up on us, grabs us, and will not let us go. I have discovered this creative process at work in my own life over and over and over again. When I have an idea about how I would like to change my life or the world, life has a way of changing me. Life has its own ideas and transforms my heart's desire along the way. Nearly two decades ago, I experienced a period of intense spiritual yearning following the difficult end of a relationship. I read as many self-help books as I could manage, probably as many as any human being should ever read. I went to meditation classes and mindfulness workshops. I saw a therapist. I switched jobs. And then I did something even more radical. I visited a church. I grew up United Methodist, but I had left the institutional church when I went off to college. I dabbled in churches from time to time as a young adult, but I had trouble finding one that made sense to me, one where I belonged, until I walked into a Unitarian Universalist church one Sunday morning as part of that spiritual quest and yearning. It was summer. The service was lay-led. The congregation's minister had recently left to serve another church. An interim minister would not be starting for another month. Well, by the time the new minister arrived, I knew I was a Unitarian Universalist. Up to that point, I just had not had a name for it. Then my minister led a women's curriculum called Cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And in the company of my minister and other women who were exploring the feminine divine, I discovered that I was a stream trying to cross a desert. The desert sands were whispering in my ear, and finally that voice burst through the fog of my being, and I had the thought, I think I am being called to ministry. No one was more surprised than me. It truly sneaked up on me. I had never, not once in the 40 years up to that point in my life, not once imagined being a minister. Maybe I should have. I grew up on Church Road. Seriously. Once I accepted that I was indeed being called to ministry, and I trusted the wind would carry me, I applied to the local seminary, and when I was accepted, I was still really not sure where things were going, where I was heading. I really had no idea that the transformation had only just begun. The transformation that was happening was the transformation of my own being. Henry Nelson Wyman called this process of transformation creative interchange. It's kind of a fancy term. He wrote extensively about how the creative process transforms the heart. He was one of the religious pioneers in the first half of the 20th century. He was first ordained as a Presbyterian minister in 1912. And he switched his affiliation and was fellowshipped in 1950 as a Unitarian minister. Wyman believed that religious questions can be grounded in science. It is no wonder he became a Unitarian. One of the questions that drove Wyman's philosophical pursuits was, what can transform us? What power or what force or what event can propel deep-seated change? He wanted to know, in his words, what operates in human life with such character and power that it will transform people as they cannot transform themselves, saving them from evil and leading them to the best that human life can ever reach. Wyman called this creative interchange. This was his God concept. God, he believed, is a natural creative process or structure, and that natural creative process, that process of transformation, increases human good. This happens when people or communities create new meaning and enrich human life. That creative process is what transforms us. It does not shape the world to what we desire so much as it transforms our desire. According to Wyman, the creative event cannot be used to shape the world closer to the heart's desire because it transforms the heart's desire so that one wants something very different from what one desired in the beginning. What is taking place in our Unitarian Universalist movement right now, something that has come to the fore this past week, is an example of a transformation in the making. There is a power at work transforming us as we cannot transform ourselves. It is a heart-wrenching example of transformation. Some of you know what I am referring to. And for those of you who may be walking into a Unitarian Universalist community for the first time, before I share this, I just want to say to you that part of our commitment as a religious tradition is to be transparent. We commit to being transparent not only about our successes, but also about our failures and our struggles. And so I share this with you in that spirit. This week, the president of our Unitarian Universalist Association, the Reverend Peter Morales, stepped down 3 months before the end of his term. He resigned in the midst of a controversy over the Unitarian Universalist Association's hiring practices and commitment to diversity. The association has been called to account for a recent hiring decision that reflects white supremacy and fails to promote diversity at our institution's highest levels. Specifically, at question was the hiring of a white male minister over a lay woman of color for a leadership position. Our association's leadership council has issued an apology. I just want to read a brief piece of that to you. They said, "We take very seriously the question of how our policies, practices, leadership, and culture systematically center and advantage white people within Unitarian Universalism. We acknowledge that it is past time for us to examine more deeply than we ever have the patterns of institutional racism that are embedded in our practices of leadership, including hiring. It has been humbling," they continued, "devastatingly sad and inspiring to read so many courageous calls to a deeper justice, to more courage, more faithfulness from us, especially from Unitarian Universalists of color who have helped us hold a mirror to our own institution. We recommit ourselves and our service to this call." My heart hurts. My heart hurts for people of color in our movement, for our denominational leadership. I hurt for all of us. Institutional racism damages our collective humanity. What is transpiring in our religious movement is reflective of our difficult institutional history when it comes to matters of race. It reflects the tremendous work still to be done. Unitarian Universalism seems at this juncture like that stream trying to cross that desert. Historically, we have just kept hurling ourselves at the desert. This is nothing, sadly, nothing new for us. I wish that we could spin around and become superheroes of anti-racism. I wish we could spin around and white supremacy would be a thing of the past, of our past, of our nation's past, of our religious traditions' past. My white privilege gets in my way sometimes, a lot of times, because I just want to hurl myself to the other side by doing things the way I have always done them. As a movement, we do this too. Our old patterns of doing things have once again gotten in our way. We will not be able to move forward by using the same methods that got us here in the first place. As Albert Einstein said, problems cannot be solved by the same level of thinking that created them. I'm not even sure that thinking is exactly what we need right now. The changes that we are being called to as a religious movement will certainly not be easy. They will not be simple. They may be scary and uncertain to many of us. I wonder if we allow ourselves to be carried by the wind across the desert, will we be the same stream, the same Unitarian Universalism that called me to ministry? Will we be the same Unitarian Universalism that called you here this morning? What if we are not the same stream, the same movement anymore? It is time for us to take a deep breath and to let go. This is a time to listen, a time to learn, a time to trust. Because what could be more scary than to keep hurling ourselves at the desert, where we will surely be swallowed up by the sand? What could be more scary than to keep hurling ourselves at that desert where we will surely fail to live up to our highest ideals? What could be more scary than remaining just as we are? In our story this morning, the stream wanted to cross the desert, but did not know how. The stream needs the desert to teach it and the wind to carry it. Only then is the stream able to discover the heart of who it is. The winds of transformation are blowing all around us. The desert sands are whispering in our ears, coaxing us to learn new methods and to widen our embrace of diversity. Are we ready to listen? Am I ready to listen? Are you ready to listen? Are we ready to be carried forward, so that we can be placed on a new mountaintop, placed in a new land where we can begin again. Amen, and blessed be.